Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Blog Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and joining me tonight is Patty in the PM. Patty, how are you?
I'm great. So happy to be here. Looking forward to talking to Lori.
Yeah. We're going to have a good time tonight. We got two great guests. Lori Jacobson, she's an author. Oh, God, let me get my glasses. Hold on one second. She is.
And Kevin.
Yep. Lori is a Hollywood author, and she writes a lot of books on Hollywood, and we'll go into that. And then we have Kevin Post. He's a musician. He plays with Blake Shelton. So before we start, let's just say thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video, Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWB Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions, Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, and our new member to the family, Joey Max Hot Dog Truck Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. Welcome, guys. So happy to have you. I'll give more information about you guys. I love the hot dogs. They're delicious. But on the phone, we have with us Lori Jacobson. She is the author of TV Dinners, her new book, and many, many others. So we'll get into those, too. Lori, hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And
my pleasure.
I'm hoping nobody calls to win this book because I want it.
I want the book. Hey, I'm older than you.
Like
I get it first.
I can help you out with that.
Well, Lori, you've been writing, my God, so many amazing books. And what I love about them is they're sort of in the vein of Hollywood Babylon, which I was a big fan of and I read about 20 years ago. And I just love it. I mean, Lori, tell us about your background. You originally were a comedian. How'd you wind up writing and getting to know all these people and writing all these books?
Well, you know, I went out to L.A. To work as an actress, and I got there in the mid 1970s, and I kind of thought all the great things had already happened. But it was an amazing time to be there because people that had worked in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, they were still there. And they were, you know, there were lifetime waitresses and lifetime maitre d's and the guards at the studio gates. They had been there. They had, you know, this was a time when people actually held their jobs for 30 and 40 years, and
right.
No one had thought to ask them questions. Mm-hmm. So when I sat down in Schwab's one day for lunch, the waitress said to me, "You know, you're sitting in Clark Gable's favorite booth." And
oh, wow!
I gasp, "You're kidding me. How do you know that?" And she said, "Because, honey, I waited on him here every Wednesday afternoon. It never failed. The racing form under one arm and a bunch of violets for me under the other. And I'm getting these fabulous stories, you you know, or even, you know, driving by a somewhat seedy motel and someone saying Janis Joplin died there like 4 years ago. What?
Wow.
Slam on the brakes. Get out. Start talking to people. Oh, yes, I was here then. I helped break down her door. Let me tell you about it. And it was just my natural curiosity.
And you kind of really stumbled into it then.
I was always interested. And so there it was. I just started asking questions. And I was lucky enough to get out there, like I said, when people were still around that knew, that had participated in some way in the golden age of Hollywood.
I know, because you're now known as like the leading Hollywood historian now. I mean, Rona Barrett used to be the name that came to mind to me years ago.
Good old Rona. I think she's still out there, Rona.
Oh, yeah, no. But I mean, Timmy's in the Well, the John Provost story. Now, there's a little bit more behind that than folks know as well that are listening to us and getting to know you for the first time tonight. You're also married to John Provost, Timmy.
I married my own little piece of Hollywood history.
Wow.
And a cutie, too.
He is so cute. He still is.
He still is so cute.
He is still as mischievous as ever.
Oh, my God.
But he's tons of fun. And I was signing and selling my books at an autograph show back in the 1990s. And I knew Stan Livingston, who played Chip on My Three Sons.
We
and
know him.
He's been on the show, actually.
Oh,
yes,
he's like one of the nicest people I've ever met. And Stanley, I went over to say hello to Stanley, and I found out later that John was kicking him furiously under the table until he made an introduction. And that was the start of our romance.
Oh, how cute.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's based all about him. No scandal or anything. Well, if he had scandal, which I doubt, but but that's based solely on his whole career and his life.
Yes, it's really really his entire life, because he started working when he was 2 and a half.
Wow.
And yeah, he worked in films. It's his work in films from the age of 2 and a half to 6 and a half that got him Lassie. So, he was Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly's son in, now the title just flies out of my head. The one she won the Oscar for.
The Country Girl? Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, you're right. Country Girl.
That's why I'm here, Joe.
Thank you. Crazy things happen to a woman's brain when she's over 60. So.
Yes.
Over 60 in the house. Oh, my goodness.
I'm raising my hands. I'm raising my hands.
I just did, too.
Oh, God. Now, The Dishing Hollywood, that sounds like a great book. I mean, you wrote about 43 scandals that took place in Hollywood. Can you name a few that could entice folks to get a peek at the book?
Oh, sure. And I had new information. Some of them I had written about before, and I had new information. So in Dishing Hollywood, I have attached a recipe that was significant to the scandal or to the celebrity. Inger Stevens, Debbie Reynolds, Lana Turner.
Oh, my favorite.
Mama Cass.
Wow.
It's
Lori. Let's see, Lori. When COVID is over, come to Arizona and we'll have margaritas and you can tell me all about these. I'm so close to you.
What a lovely invitation. And and hopefully it will be in the winter because it's very hot where you live.
And you're in Northern California and it's cold there in the winter. So come to Arizona in the winter and we'll have some margaritas and we'll get our jaws going and we can talk about this because I love like my old Turner Classic movies and I'll be able to watch them with a whole new light. You were associated with one of my actresses that a lot of people know by face but don't know by name, Shirley Knight, and we just lost her a couple of months ago and it broke my heart.
That's right. She was really an actress's actress, I think. Really underrated. And you're right, not a well-known name.
But she was in in over 50 films.
Yes,
I love movies. And you know, she was actually very beautiful years and years ago, and very sultry. But, you know, because, you know, her putting on the weight, they always put her in like a mom role or like a crazy mom role or something. But she kept working throughout all the years. And you got the pleasure of working with her. What was she like, if you don't mind me asking?
Couldn't have been more kind, generous, consummate professional. Of course. And you know, we were shooting an independent film in which she had the lead and
Not Fade Away,
you know,
right?
We were all agog. You know. And she was she could not have been she was everything you wanted her to be.
That just touches my heart because I loved her. I really, really loved her. And you know what I think? Because she was out, you know, around the same time as Shirley Jones, and I think the names being kind of close, you know, I think she got kind of lost in the shuffle in the acting department. And they both were long blonde hair back in the 50s and 60s that I think, you know, that I think that might have got her pushed, like, you know, lost in the cracks. But they couldn't have had two different people, but she was an actress, like a really, really good actress. I'm so glad to meet somebody, you know, talk to someone that actually knew her.
Nice.
But,
I wanted to ask you, one of your other books, Hollywood, Haunted Hollywood, and now...
Haunted.
Yeah, now Hollywood Haunted and Dishing Hollywood. These are about people who have already passed and the scandals as well. Have you ever had to go back and rewrite, or are you planning on going back to rewrite because things have changed based on your books, or has that happened to you?
Well, a couple of unsolved deaths have been solved since I wrote about them in the 80s and 90s. I did that a little bit in Dishing Hollywood. I updated a couple of things. But my very first book, which is no longer available, and it is called Hollywood Heartbreak, I own it, and the rights reverted back to me. And so I am going to... get that out again later this year, or probably early next year. There are a number of deaths and stories there that I have to update. Jean Harlow is one. The murder of a big Hollywood director in the 1920s named William Desmond Taylor. Hollywood's oldest unsolved mystery. I think got solved. I read a book where I thought they got it finally after, you know, how many years? 80, 90, Well, I guess it's 100 years now. I guess it's a century since he was shot and killed in his Hollywood bungalow. So, and he took down a lot of leading actresses with him, and in the scandal. Oh, it was really, it's a really juicy one. So yes, so I will be updating that. Thank you for asking. That's a good question, and one I've never been asked.
Yeah, well, a lot of things have changed, you know, and things come out now with the technology and, you know, forensics and all that. So now the new book is a kind of a stretch. I mean, you've done Haunted, the deaths and the scandals, and TV dinners is nothing like that whatsoever. I love it. I love it.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I love that stuff, too.
Well, TV Dinners is a really fun and loving trip back down memory lane. Obviously, you know, I'm married to a classic TV kid star. And through John, I have met so many of his friends. And sometimes I really have to pinch myself. I can't believe I'm friends with all the people I grew up loving on television. And, you know, knowing them personally and hearing their stories, they gave up a lot of their childhood to make lasting memories in the childhood for all of us. Right. And, you know, most of them had a really good time doing it and wouldn't trade it for anything. And they have, yeah, so I interviewed 40 of the top TV kid stars from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And
right.
it's full of their memories, full of their photos, and their favorite dishes or recipes from their heyday and from today.
Where can I get this book?
He said, I got to get this book.
I got to get this book. This is my era.
Yeah,
really
you cannot help but smile. You cannot help but smile as you're looking through it. You know, one of the things that's so joyful about this is not only do they bring back wonderful memories, but this was a time when there was usually one television only in the household, and the whole family sat down to watch these shows together. So it's not just the memories of these great shows, but how we watched them. And often it was during dinner, and out came the TV trays, and Swanson's even invented a TV dinner that you could eat while you were watching your favorite shows on TV.
Oh, I had a lot of those. I had a lot of these. Lori, I don't mean to interrupt, but we have a caller. Would you be interested in speaking to one of our callers?
Of course.
Excellent. Hang on. Let's get him on the line. Hello. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on the air with Lori Jacobson. How are you?
Hey there.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Kevin.
Kevin, you're early, honey.
Okay.
Do you want to ask me if I did since you're on the phone?
Well, I'll just call back in a little bit then.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. That was Kevin Post. He's our next guest after you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Well, you've worked with Robin Williams and John Ritter, both who are now passed. Are you considering working on a story about knowing them? Since you deal a lot with, like I said, the passings and scandals or anything like that, are you planning on anything in the works for something with them?
No. You know, there's really very little we don't know about Robin. His life was truly splashed across the tabloids and the regular press. You know, he had his issues. As most people do when fame of that magnitude is thrust upon you. But he was one of the nicest people ever. He was in a comedy improv workshop that I was in for 7 years. He never left, even though, you know, he got Mork and went on to tremendous fame. The workshop was a place where you could try out new material and test things. So he always came back every week and worked out and often got people from our class jobs on his show. He was just a doll and a wonderful, wonderful person. And I was, nice. And if you had told me how his life was going to end up, I, you know, it was just a nightmare that I could never have dreamt in a million years.
Absolutely.
That horrible disease and what happened to him. So, you know, and even at the end, suffering tremendous depression, he was still calling kids in the hospital and, you know, doing
Patch Adams
come true. Yeah,
right.
he was doing his Patch Adams.
Did you his Dr. Patch Adams routine? What about John Larroquette? He was in your comedy class as well. He's one that
he
is.
Yes, he was.
I did.
He was quite wild at the time. And he was drinking way too much, and his wife had thrown him out of the house.
I just love you, Lori. You are my new best friend.
He was living in his car on Laurel Canyon Boulevard in front of my friend Dan Cox's house, and he was partying pretty good. And
you
then he finally kicked the habit, and his wife took him back, and she was a casting agent in Hollywood, and she got him Night Court.
And that was a perfect role for his personality.
Yes. He had done a lot in radio prior to that. He had fabulous stories. He was just a little bit older than the rest of us and a little more experienced. And he and I loved the Beatles. We were absolute Beatlemaniacs together. And he had some amazing stories of his days in radio in New Orleans. And he was a ton of fun.
Well, my God, I was going to ask you how you go about, I mean, you must do extensive research, obviously, to get all these stories to put together, but I guess how you go about getting your subjects, especially for TV dinners, was through John or just your years throughout being in the industry?
A combination of both. I mean, through John, I met a lot of these people originally, and I have a business, although it is sidelined at the moment during COVID, but I have a booking business called Living Legends Limited, and I book celebrities at nostalgic celebrities at appearances and Comic-Cons and autograph shows. Of course, there are none of those things right now. So, so that business is quiet at the moment, but I have been working with almost all the people in my book for years, really.
Right,
booking them. So I knew all these stories, and we have, you know, we have tons of photos of us with them through the decades that I've known them. So. You know, and John has tons of photos of all of these folks at his birthday parties and personal appearances. So the book has over 300 photos, you know, from, as I said, their heyday and today. And that's another wonderful thing about this generation of TV kids is that they're all still friends today, 60 years
right.
later. You know,
right.
that just can't happen in any other generation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's just it's what the fans love to hear, that Spin and Marty are still best friends, that Dennis the Menace and Margaret are like brother and sister, you know. It's
really
Angela.
Oh, I'd love to see what
Bill
she
Mooney.
Looked like. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jeannie Russell and Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's the sweetest lady, and you know, Angela Cartwright, Bill Mooney. They
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
you know, they're still brother and sister.
Nice.
I just saw an episode
still
of
still working.
I just. Oh
well,
gosh.
I wanted to ask you, Lori, if you can, who was the hardest interview you've had to deal with, and who was the easiest, if you can say, in doing your research and getting your questions answered?
You know, in my lifetime, or with this book in particular?
Well, no. This book, I don't think you had a problem with anybody, right? I mean,
no.
Everybody's probably thrilled to jump on this.
I can tell you my easiest interview ever
mm-hmm.
was Davy mm-hmm. Jones.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
We always wanted to get him on the show. Unfortunately, we lost him, so.
Yes. Oh, my God. He was the best. He had known my husband briefly, and so when I was writing John's book, Timmy's in the Well, I called Davy and I had like six questions. You know, Davy was about 5 years younger, and when you're 16 and 21, that's quite a difference.
Yes.
In your freedom and maturity. So they, you know, they didn't know each other intimately, but they were pals. And,
right.
I had maybe six questions to ask him, and he kept me on the phone for 2.5 hours.
Oh my God.
So much information, and how he harbored some of the Chicago Eight and hid Abbie Hoffman in his house. I mean, the guy was just, he was incredible. Incredible the stories he spilled. So he was a blast, and we were devastated to lose him. Because once I did interview him for the book, we became great friends again, and that was so tragic and difficult. My most difficult. I really have to spend some time thinking about that one. I think I'm going to say Joy Behar.
Really?
Please.
I had to interview her for a magazine, and she was tough. She was a tough one. Like,
of course she is.
It might be the New Yorker in her. I have two more questions for you, Lori, and then unfortunately we've got Kevin coming up, but I would love to have you back again, because a half hour just is not enough to talk to you. I mean, there's just so much to say. But I have two more questions.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
not happy.
Well, Lori, you will have to come here for some margaritas, and hopefully by the fall, COVID will be gone, so we can have margaritas
That's
together.
That's a date. And John, what's your question?
And
John,
I have a great blender.
The question is, oh my God, I lost my train of thought.
Where can we get the book?
We didn't get there yet. Well, when in the book, now the meals that these celebrities are telling you about, are they their favorite meals or meals that they cook? Their favorite meals to cook.
Faves, their faves. And sometimes it's their wife's or their husband's favorite dish. Some people don't cook, but they share the shared recipes that their mates cook. But yeah, it's definitely their favorites as a kid and their favorites today.
Right.
So some of the kid recipes are pretty sweet, as you might imagine, and some of the adult recipes reflect a change that comes with health issues as we age. So, so it runs the gamut.
Right. Mm. Well, folks, we've got, here we go, Lori Jacobson, TV Dinners is the name of the book. It's 40 classic TV kid stars dish up their favorite recipes with a side of memories, telling some stories about their life in the industry growing up and in general. And there's recipes in there that they actually cook. Where can everybody get the book, Lori?
Well, of course, you can get it wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, TVDinnersBook.com. You can write me personally on Facebook or my website, Lori Jacobson, and get a signed copy from me personally. Target, wherever books are sold.
Wherever books are sold. Excellent. Well, Lori, if you don't mind, I would like to speak to you after the show about rescheduling for a longer period of time to discuss everything, because there's just so much to go into here. And unfortunately, we have someone on
Lori,
that.
And Lori, I'm going to contact you for a signed copy, because I had such a pleasure speaking with you, and I would love to have it for a coffee table book.
It was definitely
my
pleasure.
My pleasure.
Yes.
And I'm
Joanne's
big sister.
Well, Lori, I'm going to give you a call, if you don't mind, in about maybe a half hour, and we'll talk about scheduling another date to talk about all these fabulous experiences and your life, yourself. We need to do a piece about you.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest
of
your
show. Thank you so much. Take care, Lori.
Bye, Lori.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Night.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
On the phone, we have Mr. Kevin Post. Kevin, I apologize. My co-host tonight, we have a special co-host with us, Patty in the PM, and she is my country fanatic. So that's why she's with us tonight, and she's going to also be joining us for a new segment we're going to be doing, Coy. It's called oh my God, Two Steps Tuesdays. And
yes.
And so Kevin Post, welcome to the show. Kevin is a guitarist, steel guitarist. He's worked with Blake Shelton recently, I believe, on his most recent tour. Kevin, is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, it is.
Welcome, Kevin.
Yes, and welcome to Joe. And now you have your own CD out, which is, I'm sure, fabulous, because I did hear some of the new songs, The Good and Goodbye. What could be good and goodbye? I don't know, right?
I love the title.
Yeah, it's a good song. I like it. It's
very
it's
catchy.
Not the life I'm living right now, but it's definitely a song I've lived in the past.
Yeah.
I have a wonderful girlfriend now, and we're really, really hitting it off great. But so, yeah. Anyways.
Good. Well, it was good to say goodbye, because then you found somebody new.
That's
does she
very
have a
true.
Dad for me?
Does she have a what?
A dad.
Do you have a dad for me?
Oh my God.
See, you always have to keep your options open, right, Kevin?
That's
you never
right.
know what's
that's
around
right.
the corner.
Mm-hmm. You never know. And that's why sometimes ending one relationship is probably a blessing.
That's
if it's bad.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's, if it's bad,
Kevin,
it's good to end it.
Right. Kevin, how did you start in the music industry? How old were you when you started playing? Is steel guitar your preference, regular, you know, electric guitar? What is your preference, and when did you start playing?
Yeah, I started a long time ago in Texas, where I grew up, and I was playing honky-tonks when I was in college,
mm-hmm.
and I moved to Nashville. I started playing with Terry Clark in the 90s.
No way.
Yeah, I played with her for like 12 years. And yeah, she's awesome. And I love her too. I'm a big fan of hers. And we're still friends, and everything ended well. But I got the opportunity to do the Blake Shelton gig when he was on the launch pad. He was sitting on the launch pad about ready to take off. And about
got 2009. Right,
I really did. The timing was impeccable. I could not have gotten in at a better time. But he was in 2011, obviously, he started doing The Voice, and that was pretty much a game changer for Blake's career. And then I actually started to play steel guitar on The Voice as well shortly after he, probably season 8 or so, I started playing steel guitar on the show. Now we're on 18 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done probably season 8 through 17 or something. I didn't get to do the last one because of COVID. And the show, the kind of the format of every TV show has changed, not just The Voice. I don't know if you've turned on your TV lately, but everybody's broadcasting from their living room now. So
it's crazy.
Including The Voice.
Crazy.
Including The Voice.
Right. And are you still on The Voice, Kevin?
Well, I did not do the last season. I did not do the last season, but I did the one before. That's my dog. He's going crazy.
Yeah, I just had to go get. I had to step away for a minute to take care of my puppy. So if you said that you were The Voice, I missed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he.
The new album, Them Blue Eyes, is this your first CD or no? You've done more than one.
Well, it's not my first, but it's my most recent. The last one I did was in 2012, and then Blue Skies, as it's called, I recorded last year and put out about 2 months ago, and it's kind of a fun record. I encourage everybody to give her a listen. It's only six songs, so it's an EP, really. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, and it's kind of sort of a bluesy country album, somewhere between blues and country soul music. If you're into that, you'll probably like this pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So let's say the virus wasn't happening right now. Where would Kevin Post be touring? Where would you be right now?
I would be playing. I'd be touring with Blake for sure. The summertime is always a good time to be touring around. And I would be doing my own shows as well in between Blake shows.
Right.
And because of the COVID, we're not doing anything.
Wow.
We're doing exactly nothing.
Okay. You said that you started in Texas. Where did you grow up in Texas? I lived in Irving.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in San Antonio.
And Riverwalk.
Yeah. Riverwalk, yeah.
I love San Antonio.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great city. And Nashville's a great city, too.
Did you ever play in Billy Bob's?
I have played a lot in Billy Bob's. Me and Billy Bob are really close.
I was there for opening night in Billy Bob's back in, like, 1980. I saw everybody from anybody in their opening day. In their start to legends, to people that were just kicking off their career in Billy Bob's back in 1980, 80, 81.
That's fantastic.
And when there wasn't even a paved parking lot in Billy Bob's, that's when I was there. And, but I love Billy Bob's. But I saw Blake Shelton when Miranda Lambert opened up for him at the Arizona State Fair. That's you're talking about, like, just starting out. That's crazy. Now, as for The Voice, did you ever think of playing a prank and being a singer and seeing if Blake would recognize you and have them turn the chairs for you?
That's so funny. I've thought about that before.
See?
The show. I've thought that's occurred to me many times just to see what he would say. They're not a big pranky bunch on the Voice.
Yeah.
Not a lot of pranks going on, but the other thing too is like
that would be so cool.
It really would.
Yeah.
I tend to do the live shows after all of there's like five rounds
the
of tryout. The show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's all the different rounds of the show if you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
oh
the,
yeah.
Yeah, there's all the different rounds. And I end up doing the last month of every season. So I'm not there for all the tryouts and stuff. But I have thought mm-hmm. about that many times, what it would, how fun that would be to, mm-hmm. to audition. Cause, mm-hmm.
And get see if they get a chair.
See if I get a 4-chair turn or a no chair turn or somewhere in between.
Do you ever get people saying, "Oh, I don't like that twangy sound in country music," and which the twang is really the steel guitar? And how many rock and roll bands with Led Zeppelin, The Stones, Crosby, Stills, Nash all have songs with the steel guitar in it? Did you ever hear people?
You're
oh,
right.
I don't really go for country music because of that twangy sound. And
I do. I hear people saying that, and I'm always like, well, then go listen to rap or something. That's fine.
Yeah.
We can't all like
I mean,
the same thing. That's why there's different types of music. But
yeah.
The steel guitar, but, for people that love country music, the steel guitar is, I think, a special sound that country music fans really, really respond to.
Yeah. But Led Zeppelin has used it. Rolling Stones have used it. The Eagles have used it. Like major, major, big name rock and roll bands
yeah,
have had steel guitar in their mm-hmm, yeah. So it's not limited. It's not limited to country music.
Not at all. No, it's not at all. But it is very definitive of the country sound. And if you want
mm-hmm.
your song to sound more country, you put a pedal steel on it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And those yep. songs that you and those bands that you just mentioned, they were doing their country sound when they have a steel guitar in there.
Right.
Elton John,
now,
Elton John's got a steel
yes.
guitar solo on Daniel, I believe.
Oh, yeah, Elton John, that's
Linda
another
Ronstadt.
One I didn't mention, but, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now,
oh, there's so
when
many
you were,
rock tracks. Yeah, go ahead.
When you, I'm sorry to interrupt. When you were, you know, growing up and, you know, getting into the honky-tonks and playing your steel guitar, what was your favorite song to play to utilize your steel guitar skills?
Well, there was we were very fortunate in that being in Texas, you literally could not have a country band unless you had
without
a
it.
Steel
mm-hmm.
and a fiddle. You had to have a fiddle as well.
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
any of the Merle Haggard songs would
of
always
course.
Feature steel. George Strait,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And
oh,
those
yeah.
two are actually probably my favorite
King
two
George.
Country artists of all time, King George and Merle Haggard, and obviously
mm-hmm.
George Jones as well. And all of those guys really had fun steel guitar on their music. And
mm-hmm.
Of course, the Western swing stuff was very fun. We play
mm-hmm.
Sleep at the Wheel, you know,
mm-hmm.
we play all kinds of fun stuff like that. And playing downtown. In Nashville, you know, we've got this club scene, this Lower Broadway, as
mm-hmm.
it's called.
On 16th Avenue.
It's on, well, it's Broadway. Broadway and
mm-hmm,
2nd
Broadway.
Avenue, between 2nd and 5th.
Mm-hmm.
But it's normally a really popular area. I play down there a little bit with some bands, and we are on full, like, not full lockdown, but pretty heavy lockdown. But normally you can get some pretty good steel guitar going in some of those clubs.
But you don't have
like,
a favorite.
A favorite steel
you
guitar
have a
song. I don't know that I have a favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many steel guitar songs. I guess I don't have a favorite steel guitar song.
Well, when you were learning, when you were younger, excuse me, did you start on a regular guitar or a steel guitar?
It's not
no,
the
I
same, Joe. It's nothing.
I
with
know
Blake's
it's
band,
not
I play. With Blake's band, I probably play 60% guitar. I play electric
okay.
guitar. I play acoustic guitar. I play banjo. Mm. I play resonator.
Dang.
I play steel and I play some other instruments. And I sing a lot in Blake's band too. And we actually have a show coming up, by the way.
Were you part of the concert?
We have
Are
a
you,
show coming
you know, the
up
live
on,
concert that he's
yeah.
promoting
so
in the drive-in?
Yes, that's what well, you read my mind. Okay,
oh.
yes, the drive-ins.
I told you.
We taped the drive-in show a few weeks ago, and it's on the 25th, July 25th. You can look it up on the internet. And mm-hmm. there's I'm going to the one in Franklin, Kentucky, because that's by my house. And mm-hmm. It's going to be really fun. Yeah, I'm a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Has Gwen ever? You must spend a lot of time. I don't want to say a lot of time, but she must be in the company of the show sometime. Gwen Stefani, when you guys are performing, she must be there hanging out.
I'm a big fan of Gwen's. She's a very, very, very sweet person, and I really like her.
I love her to death. I don't even know her.
I do too.
I just love her to death.
She's so nice. She and Blank are not, they're not the kind of people that put on airs on TV. They're really pretty genuine. I think that's why people like them so much.
Yeah,
but like they're the same people off camera as they are on camera.
Right.
You know.
Right. Now I wanted to ask you another thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of today's country music versus the country music you grew up with? I mean, it's definitely not country music that we all knew and loved growing up. It's definitely changed. It's more on a rock side somewhat. But so are you digging what's going on, or you would like to go back to the old days, how, you know, when it was officially country?
Like Merle
yeah.
and George Jones.
I actually have another song on my album that I listen to that absolutely it's an answer to what you just said. It's called Throwback. I am a throwback, and I like all the old stuff. And so
I guess
this song,
your number
it's
one
kind
fan.
Of got, it's kind of got maybe a little bit of a modern sound, but I am a huge, huge fan of the real country and
classic
yeah,
country.
Yeah, that's what I like. That's my
can
I become what I like to listen to.
Can I be the president of your fan club? Because I love the classic sound, and then when they do have somebody on The Voice and they sound like traditional country, that's the people that Blake likes. I am like, please bring that back. Because there's too many of these that are not real country. You know,
right.
Like these Taylor Swift wannabe. That's not country to me. Keep them, you know, stay country. You know, you can't do a two-step.
The music industry is, we're in kind of a transitional phase, and I don't know what we're transitioning to, but it seems like pop music is pretty much the dominant music that gets programmed on not only pop radio, but also country radio. And that's fine. I mean, that's, but I think it's up to people like me to do an alternative to that. I don't have any desire to be on the radio. I just want to make music that I like and hopefully you like and put it out and maybe y'all will like it. That's so I'm doing something different, trying to make a different lane for myself.
Yeah, I think the problem is there's a lot of rock musicians out there, and I don't mean heavy metal rock musicians that can't get airplay, so they have to. In my opinion, I think country has become the new pop rock because they won't play it on these new radio stations because of the new music that's out there is more techno and, you know, more, you know what I mean? So I think
it's
a lot of
musicians
are going that way towards country so that they can get their music played.
Well, I can tell you one thing. There is no rock music anymore.
Right.
No, and I can tell you, people my age, friends that used to laugh at me for liking country music, they've all become country fans because there's no new rock music to like. Because is supposed to be rock, there's no new rock, so they have to either listen to the rock music from 1975, or they're forced to listen to whatever the crap is that's on the whatever station now. So they've now transitioned to country, and now they're like, "Well,
absolutely.
I guess you were right all along, Pat. We are listening to your music now."
They have music. There's just no outlet to play it. That's the problem. So they have to go to the country outlet. So. But,
you know,
well, I won't, Go ahead, honey. I'm sorry.
Well, I think that if you're relying on FM radio, then yeah, you're right. But if you kind of open your mind up to going on Spotify or going on Apple Music and kind of finding new music on your own, there's plenty of rock music. People are still writing and recording great rock music, great country music that you like, and all the stuff that you really like. It's just not going to be on FM radio anymore.
Right, and that's my point. It's not on radio. I mean, you can absolutely go and get it anywhere else, but yeah, to get it mainstream radio, no, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Not going to happen.
Oh,
I
can't
only
wait.
Really, pop music.
Right. Exactly.
I'm excited to listen to Them Blue Skies because I'm excited for some new music that sounds classic, and I'm so excited.
Well, speaking of which, why don't we give the good and goodbye a spin from the new CD, Them Blue Skies by Kevin Post? Hang on, folks. Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a listen.
Shot.
Here we go. Here we go.
Give it a shot.
Let's see it.
Sitting here smoking a cigarette, getting no guilt trip, no regret. Forgot what it feels like. Answering to no one, I finally found that silver line. The bright side of drinking all that wine is that these bottles made good for decoration. Yeah, the sun still shines, and those memories will keep on fading.
Country fan. I don't know where she went. But that's great. I love it. I love it. My God. That's the good and goodbye from the new CD, then Blue Skies. And tell everybody where they can get it again, Kevin.
Well, come on over to Spotify and Apple Music and anywhere you get, online music. It's out there. It's available. Then Blue Skies.
And, Yeah, and how about if anybody wants to reach out to you in particularly?
Well, I'm on Facebook and Twitter at Kevin Post Music, KevinPost Music, and then I'm just look for me there, and I'm on Instagram as Kevin for President. That's a different site. But...
Did anyone work on the CD that you would want to bring to light? Did Blake help with any? Did he collaborate anything on the new CD or the new song?
You know, Blake did not collaborate on anything. He barely didn't even write much of his own music, but he writes some of it. But I had Dave Finley write Throwback with me. He was on The Voice. He's a good friend of mine. And then my friend Brent Hughes co-wrote The Good and Goodbye. He's a really good country singer. You got to look him up. And then I had all the background vocals were recorded by Kenzie Rose. I think she's maybe my favorite unsigned female vocalist of all time in Nashville. She's awesome. And we've got some fun. Kenzie and I have some fun stuff coming up. So Kenzie Rose, phenomenal vocalist, really one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, I love the hook. The hook was great, and I enjoyed everything about it. It was really great. And now, are you, let's see. Now, it's just so hard to ask these questions with this freaking virus going on, where you guys will be and everything, and thinks that we can't tell everybody this, where they could catch you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's just the only thing we've really got right now is July 25th. Go to a drive-in and buy a ticket.
And where is that at? Where is that going to be?
Well, it's all over the country. There's probably 150 different drive-ins around the country where it's showing.
I guess I'm misunderstanding. So it's a live performance up on a screen at drive-ins?
It's a live recording. We recorded it live. But
oh, it's already done.
We recorded it a couple weeks ago, but
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty much a live performance. It was recorded live.
I just didn't know if there was going to be a live audience there at the drive-in in the car.
Oh, there's a live audience.
Oh, there's going to be when you recorded, there's a live audience.
This is so confusing. There was no live audience when we recorded the show. There will be people at the drive-in, though, that pay to get in.
No, of course.
But,
that's what I'm asking.
Okay. Yeah. But, no, there was no live audience. No, that didn't happen. We had to wear masks. We all had to wear masks the whole day when we were off camera. I mean, it was insane.
Wow.
It was really the mask thing. My God, I guess we have to do it, but my God, it's overbearing.
Yeah, it's definitely an experience. That's for sure. But that's why I was asking, because I didn't know if you guys were, if it was already pre-recorded, when it was pre-recorded, and when you recorded it, did you have a live audience there in their cars when you did it? But you said no, now it's going to be, now where I live, there are no drive-ins. So they did it.
Where do you live?
Years ago. I'm in New Jersey. I think there might be one, they said, somewhere in maybe South Jersey or something. I have no idea, but we used to have a few where I am, but not anymore. So is it going to be also online?
I can tell you that.
Are people going to be able to see it online?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that. I know that it will be at about 150 drive-ins across America, and there is a website, and I do not know what it is, but it can easily be found on your Google machine.
Right, exactly. Well, Kevin, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. I don't know what happened to Patty. She is on the show because she is our big country fanatic. So.
They're here. I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, well,
and they're going to have it at my drive-in here in Glendale, Arizona. We still have drive-ins in Arizona, and they just and I totally understood exactly what happened and how you filmed it and everything that's going on, because I'm a little older and I'm a little wiser. So
anyway,
well, there you go.
What did you
think? No, but she's right outside. She's right outside of Manhattan, New York. So they don't have drive-ins where she is. So, but I understand the concept of drive-in theaters.
No, I understood the concept. I was trying to find out if there was a live audience when they did it in a drive-in. That's what my
no, people weren't dancing in their vehicles.
Well, they've done it.
No,
there's been other shows
really,
that they did do that.
I really
this has turned into a comedy segment.
I really missed the live audience. It's really been it's been a bummer. The bummer of
yes.
the summer. No live
yes.
audience.
Yes. Yes. Well, Kevin, I can't wait.
Oh my God. Hey, what did you think of the song for the fifth time?
I told you, I loved it. I was clapping. I was applauding.
We did not hear you. That's why you were gone.
I said I had my cowboy hat on, and if it wasn't 113 degrees today, I would have worn my cowboy boots too. But it was too hot to put my boots on.
Oh, my God. Too hot. Too hot.
Yeah.
Remember
are you
the dry
now,
heat?
Kevin, are you in Texas now?
No, I live in Tennessee. I live in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to just say thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and a pleasure. All the best with the CD. The song is great, and I don't know if Patty had anything else she wanted to add.
No, I just said I can't wait for him to go on tour with Blake, because I will be waving to him, as I've already waved to Blake a couple of times. So I'll be waving to you now, because now I'm going to be your president of your fan club, because I just enjoyed the song. I enjoyed a new person coming out, you know, getting out there and making a big star of himself, and I got to talk to you when you're new.
Well, I am so glad to be on your show. Thank you for sharing your time with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right, well, take care. Thank you. It was a pleasure, sir. Thank you. Well,
you enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And stay safe out there.
Yes.
Stay safe, everybody. Wear your bubble
hat. All right. Kevin Post, new CD, then Blue Skies. And the song we just played was The Good in Goodbye. And it really was good. And I was we couldn't hear you. You were gone for 10 minutes. We couldn't hear anything.
I wasn't. Maybe I just wasn't talking.
No, well, we didn't hear anything. We had nothing. But I wanted to say who was coming up on the show. Our calendar is being updated. I apologize for that. I've been a little overwhelmed, and the calendar is a little delayed because of me. So coming up on Wednesday, the 15th, Joe Louis Walker. Oh, my God. Legendary blues musician. Martin Lee, he's an author. We're going to discuss his new book. We've got Rosalind Kind coming up. She's Barbara Streisand's sister and a singer in her own right. And Ruta Lee will be joining us. And
what?
Then we have, and then we have Stan Goldman. He's a lawyer and an author, and he's got an amazing new book out, too. And the wonderful Anson Williams will be back. We had to reschedule with him, and he is coming back. And then on the 26th, we have a full evening of Jared Hewitt. He's an author and a psychic, and we're going to be doing some readings over the phone. And also on the 29th, Stephen Taibbi, he's a author as well, and actress Julia Benjamin. So we're really
I know that name, Julia Benjamin.
Yeah, she's in, I don't have her bio in front of me.
Hey, when is Anson Williams going to be on?
He's on the 22nd.
Okay, because I know somebody wanted to talk to him. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen. I'm gonna sign off now. Patty and the PM saying bye bye.
All right, Patty. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Oh, anytime. Bye.
Tuesday. Bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. Okay. We also want to thank our sponsors. And I apologize for any confusion tonight. You know, working with family. I'm only kidding. But, I can't find my sponsor list. There we go. We've got the Hyde Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWB Wines in South Africa, Teach for the Times and other stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Lenoka Harbor, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's sake, and now our new sponsor, welcome to our family, Joey Max. In Harrison, New Jersey, www.joeymax.com. They deliver. There's pickup delivery. I believe they have outside cafe. Of course, limited seating due to the virus. And check them out. They make the best hot dogs. I'm not a big kielbasa eater, but I hear the kielbasa is delicious as well. So give them a shot. Check it out. And, what is it? Oh, geez, they're going to kill me. Oral satisfaction guaranteed at Joey Max. Check it out. You're going to love it. So, guys, we'll see you on Wednesday. Thank you so much. Johnny Boy, we'll see you Wednesday. Take care, everybody. Thank you, and have a good evening. Bye-bye.